Welcome to Hot D, the officially unofficial podcast for House of the Dragon on HBO. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
And today we're talking season one, episode five. Boy, what is this thing called? We Light the Way?
Is it?
It sounds right to me, yeah. Who knows?
I have no idea. Because
HBO doesn't tell you, and IMDb doesn't tell you, and apparently only Wikipedia has the answers. Aaron, what do you think of this episode?
I was reeling through a lot of this because it seems like they're really playing jazz with the source material, such as it is. And by the end of the episode, I felt like things had kind of sort of stabilized, normalized a little bit. But I was kind of surprised at all the goings on. I thought it was good. I mean, there's just so many individual moments that I'd like to call out. I think they're doing a really good job of showing why the things are going to happen are going to happen. Like, I think they're doing a good job of showing, you know, where people's loyalties are going to shift and lie. I think they're particularly doing a good job of really selling the genuine hurt that Allison feels. Having essentially destroyed her father's political career over trusting her friend who turns out to be liar, liar, dress on fire. Green fire. That's apparently the symbol of House Hightower's calling their banners to war. This is, as far as I know, entirely new lore invented by the show.
Nice.
Like I said, there's a lot of jazz being played. We Light Their Way, by the way, is the house words of House Hightower. So it makes sense that they would name the episode after that. Cause yeah, Hightower, very prominent. Hightower pride, Hightower standing tall and proud, lighting that green beacon. What did you think as a person who doesn't have any expectations or just watching the events unfold? What did you think?
You're in analytical Aaron mode. This episode is fucking bananas, man. I mean, the end of this thing is crazy.
Yeah.
Kingsguard just goes off on the best friend / lover of the soon to be king to be.
Yeah.
Or at least like a husband of the queen. It's like, this is crazy. It's not like quite on the level of a red wedding, but it's really damn off the charts. I was blown away by this episode. Best one yet, in my opinion.
Oh, okay, great. Because this is one of the things I was reeling, because like, holy shit, like how is he going to get away with that? I thought maybe they would have some kind of pretense of he insulted the princess's honor, or he made some kind of snide remark, or...
I feel like the aftermath hasn't played out yet, but I don't know, because they're doing, I guess, what is the equivalent of justice of the peace sort of wedding here after that whole event, where they've just got like the king and his family and Corlys and his family in a room, and they're actually doing the marriage.
Yeah.
Some time has clearly passed, but I don't know how much.
No. I think this isn't like a Miss Havisham situation where like this is taking place in the this is literally. I threw a Great Expectations reference on you. I think you're supposed to understand it. This is this night. Like there's a pool of the Knight of Kisses blood on the floor. There's the remains of the feast. I'm sure if it took place even the next day that they'd have all this cleaned up.
Totally.
I'm wondering
if it's like minutes or hours. Cause like Kristen seems like he should have some kind of repercussions for what
he was
did,
going to go off
have
himself.
To explain himself.
And I'm wondering if like the queen is going to save him, because like that's one thing. I think if the queen's like, well, I just want him to live. I want him to be my sworn protector or whatever, that might be something. But like this guy, man, I feel bad because I was about to call him old fashioned, but I think in this day he's just kind of fashioned. Now he's ludicrous and way idealistic and entirely too romantic. But like it shows that Rhaenyra really miscalculated here.
Mm-hmm.
That this guy took his oath seriously and thought this meant something. And to her, it's just, you're just my paramour.
Yeah, and she's playing with toys that are
yeah,
that are way beyond her comprehension.
Yeah, and sure, I'm going to sleep with this other guy just to get children out of him, and he's got another guy that he's interested in, and like, you know, we've got this quadruple situation going on, and everybody's fine with it, and no one checked with Sir Criston. And like, I gasped so many times this episode, like when he just confessed to the queen, you know, because the queen is feeling around of like, did you notice her coming in and out, or did you notice Damon doing anything? Mm-hmm. And he's like, I fucked her, your majesty. Yep. I'm sorry, I fucked her.
Dumbass.
If you make them
say it. You don't ever come out with it. Come on.
And then when he's like, well, instead of gelding and torturing me, I thought, he's like, oh, he's going to ask to be sent to the wall. Just kill me mercifully. Like, this guy is fucking torn up. And poor Joffrey Lonmouth.
That's a statement you don't hear often. Poor Joffrey.
Poor Joffrey, the Knight of Kisses, going there thinking he's just going to cement this little, like, hey, you know, I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page about how we should be circumspect about keeping everybody's secrets. And Sir Criston's like, you know what? Fuck it. If no one can, if I can't be happy, no one can. And I'm going to give you the fucking soap movie, the Fight Club treatment. I'm going to ruin a beautiful thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a soap movie. That's how I've referred to it.
Yeah, that wedding feast scene. It's not even the wedding feast, right? It's the feast before the wedding. It's like I forget what
it was. The Jason kickoff to it. A 7-day festivities leading up to the wedding. So like, all that shit is, and it's funny because in the books, this Sir Criston stuff happens at the tourney where you are exchanging blows with fellow knights, you know, maybe not the kind of blows a Knight of Kisses.
And we've seen how those tourneys go.
Sure. And so like, I was expecting like, oh, it's going to give some real spice for the tournament scene. And it's going to be clearly that this is like, you know, motivated by, but like, no, he just fucking beats him to death right there in front of God, the seven gods and everybody.
Yeah.
So wow, 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 wow. Like I said, lots of shocking things. Pete, do not ask me who the Lena is writing, because I don't think she's writing who she's supposed, I mean, dragon wise. I don't think she's writing who she's supposed to be writing. I don't know what the hell's going on there. That was a real interesting thing. My man Viserys has got the TV cough. You don't come back from that, Jim.
No, he's done. As best I can tell, he's done at the end of this episode. He's, like, early on, I'm thinking he might not make it out of this episode. He's feeling so bad, especially looking
there's
at
no,
that arm.
You think he's gone this up? Well, so I want to say, like, I thought Maybe. That arm was shockingly gross, but when I was looking at it, I think you're supposed to understand that the Grand Maester has applied this big poultice to it.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's not, you know, because it looked like it's about to fucking just slough off of mm-hmm. there. Or I'm like, oh, they're going to have to take his whole arm. But You think Viserys is dead at the end of this episode?
I mean, he's bleeding from the nose. He's collapsing several times during this episode. Huh. If not this episode, if not dead already, then he's definitely doomed next time.
Hmm.
Unless they go off and do like a side story or something and then come back to him. But that would be crazy.
Well, like I said, they're playing a lot of jazz here with this material.
Yeah, totally. I don't know. I love the wedding or the feast scene, I'll call it. I love how through the whole thing, they're just planting all of these like danger seeds that which one is going to grow in, which yeah. one is going to sprout and come to fruition by the end of this scene. Because you yeah. know something bad's going to happen, right? It's Game of Thrones. Yeah. It's a wedding feast.
They just keep piling on, you know, Sir Criston standing there looking like he's about to incandesce. Mm-hmm. Damon swaggers up and Viserys is like, oh, fuck. He starts dancing with Rhaenyra. That's the thing, is like when they made it, it's a really effective, I thought it was a really effective moment, because you are so concerned with like, what the, is Damon just going to kiss her right here in front of court? Yeah. And the way the dancers kind of eclipsed him, and Viserys is like, the fuck is happening? And then he's here to scream. And I'm like, did he put hands on Rhaenyra? What the shit is going to go on?
And Gerald came in there and was trying, making to kill Damon or something. Yeah.
Or something. Yeah. Like I thought that something, I was like, cause I'm like, well, they're going way off. We're going on to some fucking rough riding. This is some interesting stuff. And yeah, no, it's just Sir Criston beating this poor guy to death. And there's this confused man. I love it when like, by the way, congratulate, you must feel real good about, Lord Strong being handed the king.
Yeah. Yeah. I heard it. I was like, yes, that's the right decision.
given the leal service in the Seven Kingdoms, not enough L's in the word leal for his service. He's not a lick spittle. He's not a toady. He's just telling it as it is. My favorite moment is where, like, Harwin, his son, Breakbones, is like looking at his dad, like, "Are you going to unleash me, Dad? Are you going to unleash me? You're going to unleash me." And Strong's like, "Okay," gives him the nod, and like Harwin just like boom, just grabs guys, throwing them out of way. And I thought he was going to go and do something, but no, he just like Donkey Kongs Rhaenyra the hell out of that situation, just grabs her and takes her off. That was so fucking cool and badass. I loved it. I love all of Hal Strong. I think they're pretty awesome.
Oh yeah. I what's the youngest name? Or no, the
Larry. Old? Yeah, Larry. He's Larry Strong.
Larry, really?
What's funny is every time I try to type Laris, autocorrect Larry's. He's Lord Larry to me. Now he's the younger son. He's got the club foot. But he's more from the Otto Hightower school of laying it on thick, though.
Which might be okay when you're dealing with a 18-year-old girl, whatever she is at this time.
Yeah, because she might not catch anything more subtle, like, you know, and he's, you know, being very careful to say things correctly, but the subtext is so heavy you can hear it dropping.
Yes. I want to see him interact with somebody who might be a little more savvy, and then we can talk. Although I think Allison's, you know, not dumb by any means. I mean, Otto's...
No,
raised
but
her
she's
well.
Right.
She's picking up on a lot of stuff.
Dumb or smart as Sansa was at her age, which is like, you know, I think as she's a clever, bright 17, 18 year old that's still not got a lot of experience, you know, in terms of
Sansa was a lot more naive.
And,
Alicent's definitely got more experience under her belt at this point than Sansa did at this point in the show.
Hmm. I'm not sure if I'd agree with that, but I couldn't mount a defense of it right just yet.
Gotcha. I don't know. All that stuff was great. I really to lead up to, you know, the big event with Kristen, I thought that scene on the boat with him and Rhaenyra was amazing. They show how like this is a toy to her. This was a way to get off. This was a way to just have some fun. Is all that was to her, and this is a life decision for him.
I don't think I would say it's that like just she's a toy. It's more of like she was kind of bummed that she wasn't going to get to have all the things she wanted, and then she had this experience that led her to believe that she could have all the things she wanted, but she just forgot to check in with Sir Criston. Maybe she thought, oh, he's a knight, he's had adventures, he's, you know, he's all but said I've had sex with other women, it's not a big deal.
Yeah,
but
he took a bow. Not a big deal, you know.
Yeah, I mean, he fucking fell for her. He caught feelings, and I said, I don't think it's fair to say, because like I don't think it's fair to say that Laenor thinks that Lonmuth is, you know, a toy. But like it just shows the different mindset. The Laenor is like, I'll never be able to openly have the thing that I want. So this is actually better than I ever expected. Versus Sir Criston. You know, probably okay with the idea of like, well, I've sown my oats and that was fun, but now I'm going to do this great thing, this honorable thing. Falls for the princess and thinking that it would mean something, and he just, you know, just read the room wrong, or read Rhaenyra wrong. But I don't think Rhaenyra is a, like I said, I don't think it. She thought of it as a toy. I think that Rhaenyra is extremely sad about how this all turned out too, because I think she loves Sir Criston.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't think it was intentional. I think it was thoughtless, totally thoughtless.
Yeah. Okay. I'll go with that. And also, like, man, what'd you think of her? Just essentially, I'm here, do me. She's to Daemon right there in the dance floor. Like, why don't you go cut through to Kingsguard, take me on the back for dragons, take me to Dragonstone, make me your wife. Let's just fucking shit or get off the Valyrian pot, man. There's still lots of hot D to talk about. We'll be back right after the break. Here are the weekly highlights coming up this week on Bald Move.
Apple TV is releasing a new series based on Blake Crouch's novel Dark Matter. Aaron and I are big fans of his work, so we're picking up the new show on day one. Join us this Wednesday for the preview podcast.
The Shogun Limited series might be over, but that doesn't mean our Shogun coverage has to end. We've got the wrap-up podcast releasing this Tuesday, where we'll consider all your feedback and final thoughts on a series. And because we like the show so much, we decided to go all the way back to 1980 to cover the first TV adaptation of the novel. Do what you can to find a copy and join us this Thursday for the first of our four-part podcast on the 1980 Shogun miniseries.
And finally, the latest first-run movie, The Fall Guy, features Emily Blunt and Ryan Gosling. He's a stuntman tasked with finding the star of his ex-girlfriend's movie when he suddenly goes missing. Is it a rom-com? Yes. Does that mean I'll automatically hate it? Not if the trailer lives up to its promise. Join us for the podcast on Bald Move Pulp this Thursday night.
You can find these and many other great podcasts by searching for Bald Move Pulp or Bald Move Prestige in your favorite podcast app.
We're getting geared up for the 6th annual Summer Badass Fest. And while we're working on a slate of apex badass films to enjoy, we've got an early action-packed announcement to make.
Just like last year, we're kicking off badass season with a live movie watch and podcast recording. We've rented out a theater for connoisseurs of action films and Bald Move fans that just want to have a great time.
Unlike last year, this year's movie is top secret. Hush, hush. No hints, except it's incredibly badass. It stars an absolute icon of the genre. We're willing to bet most of you haven't seen it, and it's going to be an incredible viewing experience with a packed house of Bald Movers.
Those of you who came to last year's screening of Total Recall know what a party it was. And those of you who didn't, now's your chance to experience it. Meet me and Jim. Order some custom movie-themed drinks at the theater's full bar. Then watch us record the full podcast for the movie. We reserved a venue over twice the size as last year, but seating is still limited.
It's happening Friday, June 21st at 7 p.m. in our hometown of Cincinnati. Get full details and buy tickets at baldmove.com/live.
Cincinnati's actually a pretty great city to visit, and we've got lots of details for side adventures on our event page as well. The Reds are playing the Boston Red Sox in their fantastic Riverside Stadium. The thrills of Kings Island just minutes away, and I'll be leading a kayak trip down the scenic Little Miami River on Saturday.
Again, get full details and get your tickets now on our Badass Fest 6 page at baldmove.com/live.
Now, back to Hot D.
It's incredible to me to watch Joffrey and Lainor stand there and look at Kristen Cole and say, that's a man with a secret, and that's a man who has fucked the princess. And know all this just by taking one look at him, and then to go out on the dance floor and be locking eyes with your lover, your secret lover, and
there's
to be
a
like,
lot of reckless conversations,
dude. And Damon out here grabbing up Rhaenyra like he's gonna make out with her, like they're being so fucking obvious when any lord apparently can just look at somebody and tell they've got a secret and know what it is.
Even
so,
that conversation on the boat, like.
Right.
I don't know where the fuck the guy that's steering the boat, but apparently they have the whole back half of the boat to themselves to have their private little like lovers conversation there. And that was a reckless conversation. Damon Rhaenyra was a reckless conversation. Obviously, Lonmouth versus the Sir Kristen Cole is a reckless conversation. And again, it's like there was always like, well, OK, if Viserys is seasick, he's going to be down below. Most of the people will be there taking care of him. Clearly, Ryan Condal has no clue how fucking boats work, so like there's no going to be in the back half of the of a working ship at sea. I think you're supposed to understand that these are intimate conversations happening in very like kind of like the way you'd have a conversation at a club. Like if you're within 3 inches of somebody, it's a private conversation even though you're having it. But like, yeah, like, and then I guess, so did you have a problem with Lonmouth and Lainor, Joffrey and Lainor kind of, I guess what you call what do you call that when you make somebody you clock when they clock Sir Kristen, because I feel like a gay men at court would have to be incredibly adept at reading body language and gestures and facial expressions and kind of like the room. So because if they're not, they'll probably get killed. So yeah, I didn't have a problem. I'm like, oh, that's, if anyone could like size someone up and see the energy between it, it'd be these guys, right?
Yeah, definitely not Jason. He's not sizing anybody up. He's sticking Jason. His foot in his mouth every other sentence.
Jason, idiot. With the boomer jokes about marriage and women.
And right in front of the woman heir. It's you idiot. You fucking dumbass. Yeah, and
I love her reaction to that. Like her facial expression, just like, oh, you're such a delight, Lord Jason. Oh, by the way, people, it seems like they're doing it anyway, but if you're watching live... if you're a club member watching live, go ahead and anything you type in chat, questions or whatnot, is fair game for our instant talk session at the end of the episode here. So you and I just saw Spartacus on the big screen. There was a classic movie night at one of the local theaters. That duck and goose was very similar to the what was it? Like oysters and snails conversation.
I don't remember the conversation specifically, but I do remember the scene. Yeah.
Yeah. Where this guy's trying to size up another guy about whether, you know, he's kind of cool with the, you know, the snail versus the clam. And it's like, man, you got, I feel like you owe Kubrick some royalties for this conversation because, you know, it's, I guess, fowl rather than water creatures, but
sure,
pretty much the same thing. You know, do you like goose? Do you like roast duck? Who knows? Why does anyone prefer one thing to another? But it's cool because I can have my duck and you can have your goose or gander.
hell, Rhaenyra might try them both. Who knows?
Oh man, I thought so. Like Rhaenyra had this chance to have a happy thing. And it's done. It's gone. Because like that, the thing that's like their marriage was supposed to be this culminating thing of 7 days of partying and rejoicing. And it's just been ruined in every way it could be ruined. Maybe her father's dying. She's not going to have her cake and eat it, too. Her lord husband is going to be bereft. And, you know, it's just a misery. And it's like just happening in the carcass of this celebration. Damn.
Here's the other thing I really like. I was super disappointed when Kristen goes out to the Godswood and is about to kill himself. I'm like, man, they set this up so perfectly to be such a juicy plot line with the queen knowing his secret, her being her declaring war essentially on Rhaenyra and having him as a tool in that arsenal. I thought that was amazing. And then he's like out there about to kill himself. I'm like, God, you wasted it. And I'm so glad she shows up at the end to put a stop to that. Cause yeah, this could be the ally that she needs.
Yeah. When he had his knife to his belly, I'm like, what the fuck is happening? He is he is not supposed to die. And then she shows up and I'm like, okay. All right. I see what they're doing here. Like I said, I almost have no notes for the adaptation. I was confused, but like, I don't really give a shit if they 100% follow the book. And the other thing I kept on thinking is like, oh my God, it's not like, is Mushroom right or Septon Eustace right or Maester Gildane right? Like everything's kind of right. Because in the mushroom kind of story is that Sir Criston was this knight who wasn't going to flex on his principles. And Rhaenyra thought it's because he wasn't attracted to her because she's just a girl. And, you know, he's a man of the world and experienced. So Daemon steps in and is like, oh, I'll help you. I'll train you on how to please him. And he takes her to the whorehouses and he does this and that. And, you know, doesn't actually deflower her. He's wanting to save that for her love. And she comes to Sir Criston pitching 99 mile an hour fastballs. And he's like, what the fuck is this? This isn't the sweet princess I thought I was getting, and spurns her. So it's like all of this shit kind of happened in a way. It all kind of goes, but like, it's not like the mushroom is right or this guy. It's like they were all had elements of the truth. Like, you know, Kristen did spurn her. Daemon did make an unwanted advance, did not deflower her. Like, it's like, I'm just like kind of wanting to step back and applaud that. Like I thought I knew what they're doing last week, but like what they're doing this week where it's kind of like everybody's right in a certain kind of Obi-Wan Kenobi, you know, way of looking at things, I'm like, man, that's really exciting for me as a book reader, because now I'm going to be reading ahead and thinking, like, what other, you know, ways can they hit frappe on these three different accounts on things and historical. I thought it was really great.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. Well, what do you think about getting to the questions now?
I think we can. I think we can. Of course, if you're not a club member, this is where your experience ends tonight. We're going to be spending some time with the fans talking about their questions and comments and concerns. If you want to participate in that, it's real easy. Support.baldmove.com. You can get the archive of tonight's Instant Talk, and you can join us next week for the live one. We still got 5 episodes left. Plenty of season left. But if you'd like to get a long-form piece of feedback in, please do that at hotd@baldmove.com. You can follow us at twitter.com/baldmove, and we'll be back Tuesday for the full episodic coverage, and that feedback will be considered on Thursday.